It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Longtime North Texas Congressman Jeb Hensarling is not seeking re-election. He says he's leaving because he's been in Congress far longer than he had planned. The Dallas Republican is in his eighth term in the House. He chairs the powerful House Financial Services Committee. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Low-income schools have a tough time paying for field trips, and parents often don't have room in the budget for after-school activities. As Courtney Collins explains, that's why the Dallas Arboretum is bringing the great outdoors inside some local schools.
Edwin J. Keast Elementary in East Dallas has all the buzz and activity of a typical school. Listen closely, though, and you'll hear some noises not characteristic of a fifth-grade classroom.
Maybe just one more cup and we'll be full.
These students are tending to a 6-foot-tall hydroponic tower bursting with flora. Think high-tech vertical garden that's lit from within. These green thumbs know what's growing, too.
We plant basil,
spinach,
this is lettuce,
parsley.
The ones that are colorful are obviously rainbow chard.
7 weeks in, the seeds have more than taken root. Take it from 10-year-old Jesus Cruz.
We have a plant tower. Our plants are turning out real great. One is actually already almost done.
The tower is the centerpiece of a 9-week course led by the Dallas Arboretum. Once a week after school at Keast and three other local elementaries, there's a hands-on activity, discussion, games, and a lesson. Today, kids are refilling the hydroponic tower, measuring plant growth, and learning about life cycles. Jesus says he's getting a lot out of it.
I like it. It's educational and very inspiring.
A lot of students at Keast have never been to the Arboretum, and many of their parents struggle to pay for after-school activities. Principal Yasmin Cruz, no relation to Jesus, says the 50 spots for this program were gone in a snap.
Our parents are constantly asking for enrichment opportunities at our campus, and when we have those enrichment opportunities that are so educational and instructional, even after school, they jump in really fast.
The Arboretum pays for an educator to come to Keast, pays for a teacher from the school to stay late and help out, and provides all the materials. This coming spring, the Arboretum will also foot the bill for a field trip.
It is an expense. We have to pay transportation, so we're very fortunate that with this program, our scholars can go to the Arboretum for free. We are going to have about 250 students going to the Arboretum very soon.
Perhaps most importantly, the kids are involved in a program that interests them and bulks up their science knowledge. Ann Luke is science enrichment manager at the Dallas Arboretum and says that's why this program was created 12 years ago.
It was a result of looking around and seeing that local schools needed some help with their science scores.
When this course wrapped up last year, more than 90% of students reported that what they learned helped them with their classwork. And Luke says it's also a great way to engage kids with working parents who'd otherwise be on their own after school.
The students love the program. They're excited about it. We love to see them getting excited about science and understanding those concepts. Then they have somewhere to go. They don't have to go home to an empty apartment or an empty house.
Abdomen, right? Everybody say that.
Abdomen.
Okay.
Instead, they're learning the body parts of a bee, checking on their plants and preparing for that final day harvest when they'll get to sample their leafy greens in a class-made salad. 10-year-old Shirley Gill still can't believe how quickly their hydroponic tower sprang to life.
I think it was really fast. Like, I didn't know it was going to grow that fast. I thought it would, like, take a month to grow like that.
Now she knows, and she's proud of the work her class has done. Let's just hope that pride carries over when she takes that first bite of rainbow chard. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Leading up to Halloween, we've been visiting ghost towns across Texas. Tonight, we head southwest to a place tucked into the Chinati Mountains. Drive south of Marfa, and you'll see a sign that says Shafter Ghost Town. Shafter used to be a mining town. Now, adobe ruins sit on what was once called the richest acre in Texas. Marfa Public Radio's Elizabeth Troval reports.
In Shafter, most immediate signs of life are four-legged. Outside the old silver mill, a sign warns, do not trespass. Randall Cater and his mom offer a warmer welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
She won't hurt you. She just barks. I'm Betty Cater. I'm Randall's mom.
They are two of the few dozen who reside in Shafter today. Cater says he loves it because it's cheap and the weather's perfect.
And
If you like riding motorcycles, the canyon that runs past Shafter on Highway 67 is one of the best motorcycle roads in the country.
But it wasn't the landscapes that once drew more than 2,000 people to Shafter. It was the silver. In the late 1800s, a Chinati pioneer was traveling to Fort Davis, a nearby frontier military outpost, when he stumbled upon some glittering silver ore. With the help of the fort's commander, General William Shafter, a mining town was born. Randall Cater tells me the promise of silver drew in flocks of Mexican laborers.
It was the biggest town between Del Rio and El Paso.
In those days, Shafter had all the elements of the quintessential Western boomtown.
Yahoo!
Apache raids, Texas Rangers, saloons, and a stagecoach. Even General Shafter, the town's namesake, had a reputation for trouble.
Pecos Bill was quite a cowboy down in Texas.
He was given the name Pecos Bill because, quote, drank heartily, gambled earnestly, ate plentifully, and cursed incessantly. Despite the lawlessness, the town was not without moral guidance. The Sagrado Corazon, Sacred Heart Church of Shafter, was built and consecrated in 1890.
The miners paid for the church out of a weekly and monthly little stipend that they gave to the church. Also, they provided the labor.
That's Brother Pascal, a monk who moved to Shafter around 5 years ago. He's paid special attention to the town's spiritual history.
There was always a priest here, usually Mexican. There were nuns here.
The Sagrado Corazon became a central part of Shafter life. Then, in 1940, the miners struck water. World War II had lowered the demand for silver and prices fell. The Shafter mine closed in 42, and soon, Randall Cater says, everything else followed.
When all the GIs came home, all over the United States, there was a huge demand for building supplies.
People came to Shafter and took the roofing tin off abandoned houses, stripped the door and window frames, and took out electrical wiring.
So the town was pretty much dismantled and hauled away. And what you see left are just the stone and adobe walls.
But Brother Pascal says the Sagrado Corazon kept beating.
You know, the Catholics believe in an institutional church, that Christ founded a church. But here they kind of forgot Shafter, but the people took care of the church. And that's pretty interesting.
People like Leo Madrid. He opens up the Sagrado Corazon church doors every morning before driving to work in a non-ghost town. He lives there now, but grew up on the border.
Shafter. I've always loved Shafter. As a kid, I would come to Shafter with my parents and Mass, of course, and then we would have the picnic around the creek.
The church still holds Mass once a month. Madrid says he hosts town potlucks afterwards. The location? An old dirt floor shack he's turned into a hangout.
Most of this stuff that you see on the walls or on the shelves over here on this side are things that people bring on their second time around or the third, fourth, whatever.
It's adorned with license plates, colorful signs, and different types of signed currency.
See that koala's next, that little sign up there?
Madrid says guests from all over the world have dropped by his unofficial ghost town bar. It's probably an afterlife General William Shafter would have appreciated. In Shafter, I'm Elizabeth Trobal.
And trick or treaters are out in full force, and it might be raining in your area. The forecast calls for mostly cloudy skies tonight, with a 60% chance of rain throughout the evening and a low around 49. Tomorrow should be partly cloudy with the warmer high near 78. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a low around 64. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin.